It is 10:28 on May 14th, 2016. I am on the hill behind our house. It's a glorious day. The temperature is amazing. The sun, the sky is just unbelievable. I wanted to capture a journal entry. I have been pretty lazy about doing them lately because I've been so focused on living my life with Persis over the phone and keeping the ministry going. And I wanted to make a journal entry about some challenges that Persis and I are encountering. And Persis has been having a fear that she's expressed from time to time about feeling somewhat threatened in her heart in regards to my children. And she has desired for so long an exclusive relationship with her husband. That's one of the reasons why she wanted to marry. She wanted to marry, and she always desired to have this exclusive relationship. And with her ex that she was kind of almost engaged to, not engaged to, for 6 years, she basically had to share him with either his pursuit of things in the world, his family, and in the end, his religion. And so she never really had him exclusively. And she wasn't supposed to. She now knows that he was a snake, somebody that she had chosen, not somebody God had chosen. But now, she's never had this experience of having children. And I have 5 children, and these 5 children, she feels, are always going to be a reminder of, number one, my ex. And she also feels that it's going to, she's going to lose the exclusivity with me because of the children. And we have entered into a stage in our relationship already where we've agreed that we share 100% of every fear, unless it's just something really silly. You know, there's all kinds of arrows that come in. My goodness, I probably have 100 arrows a day on bad days. It would be pointless for me to hand all those arrows to her and say, here, hold this. But when it's a pressing one, one that won't go away, or if it's something that the other person can help us with, then we feel led to share. And we don't judge, we don't condemn, we listen, and Persis has been so unbelievable. Like nothing I could have ever imagined. When I've shared my concerns and my fears, she's been so gracious and reassuring. It's been incredible. And I feel I've been the same way with her, with hers. But she's struggling more because hers is a bigger issue. As she states, you know, my children are always going to be a part of my life. And she's only known the experience from India that children are placed ahead of the spouse. Children are placed ahead of everything. And she has only ever known that. In spite of the fact that that didn't really happen in her family, she sees it in the culture as her only experience. So I've assured her and assured her and assured her, and she's not able to shake it. She's tried to get rid of this, and it's coming back on her. And she said she's, you know, cried out and prayed, and she's even admitted, you know, maybe I'm thinking wrong about this. Maybe I don't have all the information because I haven't had this experience, which I agreed with. But we had a long talk. I reassured her over and over and over. And still, after I spent 20 minutes reassuring her, this thought captures so much of her heart at a time that she still needed to take a break from the call. And she needs to get off the call and to go, you know, deal with it with herself, go before the Lord, which is good, and ask Him for grace. And when she hung up without saying, I love you. And I had said, I was saying, I love you, and she clicked off. She needed to go pretty much right then. A few years ago, something like that would have really tripped me up. And I just want to praise the Father. He's given me so much grace. You know, the Bible talks about the woman being the weaker vessel. Treat her as the weaker vessel. and honor her and protect her and give yourself up for her. And the Lord Jesus Christ is giving me the grace. It's incredible. Instead of me getting frustrated, instead of me feeling terrorized in my heart or fearful, God is giving me all this grace to hear her out and to really just let her have some string and run with it. Not having to try to control her feelings. There's this sense of a loss of fear. It's like peace just floods my heart. And it's almost like God just says, just let her go. Just trust me with her. And that's exactly what he's saying. And this happened another time where we had a really, probably the worst conversation we've ever had, where the enemy had gotten in her head and was really, really, really spinning her out on a few things. And she misunderstood something I was saying, again, filtering it through her past, and she ended up saying something to me that was very hurtful and then hung up on me. And I was really kind of shocked that, wow, we got there. But it shows you how no one is perfect. Everybody has some sort of weakness. Everybody has challenges, issues. Everybody has the ability to come under spiritual attack. And I just let her go. And I just went and got on my knees and prayed, and this peace just floods my heart. A few hours later, she called me back. We ended up having one of the most awesome, loving, thankful conversations. So thankful for the intimacy, so thankful for God's grace. I mean, it's just incredible. Like, you want so bad to not have conflict in your life and to not have difficulty and tangles in your relationship, and yet God uses these to make you more like Jesus. So I see God is testing and proving Persis' faith true. God is growing her up and strengthening her in a few ways. Probably more ways than I can even understand or can see at this point, and more ways than she can see or understand. And I just am so thankful to God for the peace, and I'm trusting that God is going to have his way with her, and God will allow her heart to come to rest and allow her to see the truth and to give her grace to overcome these fears. And, you know, we are being tested. We've only had 28 days of marriage. And those 28 days were like living in a battlefield with all of our surroundings, not with each other. We were amazing with each other. It was incredible. But with all of the things that were coming at us, spiritual attack and the pollution, the food problems, my sickness, the adversity, sickness going, traveling across town, the heat, the water, the food, the registrar's office, the, you know, just all kinds of things that came against us. So 28 days was on a battlefield, basically. We haven't had that beautiful white sandy beach, peace, quiet, pina colada, smooth, cool ocean breeze blowing through your hair honeymoon experience. We had an India honeymoon experience. And, you know, that's right in line with our ministry, our desire to help broken people and people that have been through difficult things and the lowly of the world, the reality that this world is full of troubles. And, so anyhow, being now apart from each other is so hard. We find it getting harder and harder every day, and we're having to depend more and more on God's grace. We love each other so much. We want to be exclusively with each other so much. We're still in that stage of the relationship where you're bonding. We've already bonded so far beyond what I could have imagined, but we still want to bond more. I mean, if you really love someone, you want to spend a lot of time with them, and that's not available to us right now. And we're waiting for this visa, and it makes the relationship already vulnerable because hope deferred makes the heart grow sick. So our hearts are already sick just from being apart, longing to be with each other, figuring out the balance of how much do you press in and tell the other person, I love you, I love you, I miss you, I miss you, I want you, I want you, versus having to pull back a little bit because the pain of banging your head against that wall that won't move is so painful that you end up having to kind of pull back a little bit. You have to have a little bit of a different kind of a relationship for a season. I find frustration creeping into my heart every day about not being able to be with my wife, wanting to reach through that phone and grab her. And we we do this thing where we put our arms around ourselves and we squeeze and go, like we're hugging each other. Anything to try to feel the presence of one another. And then when these challenges come, you know, having to talk about her past and when I have to hear about her ex and all that, you know, that can sometimes, like, God gives me much grace, but there's a point that I reach where I say, okay, I've looked into that room long enough for today. I need to look in a different room because it starts to have me having tormented thoughts in my heart. You know, the true love is a jealous love, as it says in the Song of Solomon. It's immovable. It's a burning fire. And that's the way I feel with my Persis, and she feels the same way with me, and it's really, really tough. We're having to really just depend upon lots of God's grace. I mean, we're two people who, above anything in the world, we desire our love relationship, our time with one another. Neither one of us are into sports or recreation or other things that we want to put our time and energy into. Our thing is God and each other. So I'm believing and trusting fully with peace in my heart that soon she will call me back. And in the meantime, I'm out memorizing my scripture verses, meditating on the Word of God, climbing this hill, getting some good exercise, and waiting for the Lord to work. And I'm even expecting, and sometimes in situations like this, it gets worse before it gets better. And that's how your faith is strengthened. So, for example, after she told me about the problem, and then I tried to solve it with my own words and comfort, it got worse for her. She was more quiet after I was done talking than she was before I started talking. And she had to hang up without even saying, I love you. And I have to decide in that moment, am I going to trust God that He will take care of this? Or am I going to fret and get fearful and wonder, oh, what's going on in her heart? I am so thankful to the Lord Jesus Christ that He's given me this strength. It just shows you that God can get you through anything. And I see how marriages can so quickly turn sour for people that don't know how to handle conflict. They don't know how to trust God. And they try to white knuckle every argument and white knuckle every situation that's uncomfortable to them. And they try to fix it in their own strength or their own power. Sometimes you have to know when to just let go and trust the Father. And I have seen Him do this over and over again. And I pray it's my testimony for years now, years to come, that whenever we faced a challenge that I couldn't overcome easily, I trusted the Lord, she trusted the Lord, and God has overcome it for us. So much of this is spiritual, and words alone cannot fix it. A person has to take up the shield of faith. A person has to cry out to God. A person has to humble themselves. They have to receive God's grace. And we would not make it without God's grace. But I am so thankful for this unbelievable, amazing woman that God has given me. And I'm so thankful to have a woman who desires me exclusively like this. What a blessing to have a wife who wants to be with her husband and loves him that much. And in due time, I have told her, you're going to see when you meet my children and you feel how much love they have for you and how much love you have for them and what God does in that relationship, you're going to laugh that you've ever had these concerns if you'll just trust God. You will laugh. And so, baby, I'm saving this recording so that one day you will laugh. I bet you will laugh listening to this recording. And I hope and pray that when you do, you will praise God, knowing that this was spoken before it even happened. John 14:29. I tell you these things before they happen, so that when they do, you will believe. Oh, praise God. It is 10:39 now on the May 14th, 2016. This is an added entry on the challenge that Persis and I have had today.
and it's a spiritual battle, and I thank God that He's helped me to see this. But I also want to record how I'm feeling, and I want to capture these thoughts so that I can learn as much about this as possible. I'm learning more and more how prevalent the enemy's attacks are in people's minds, and how he's able to send these thoughts that can make you feel so real. And what I find is that I've come under assault so many times that I'm growing in my ability to recognize the difference between a thought and an arrow from either my own corrupt imagination or from the devil versus a faithful thought that's a reflection of the Father's heart and promises. I'm able to distinguish between them. And I'm also, I'm surprised by the timing. Yesterday, I closed the door on a person who was really starting to be evil in my life, and they had been evil in my life for a long time, this young lady named Haley that I tried to disciple for over a year. So I painfully shut the door in my life with her to get her out of my life. Last night is the night I had the dream where about the snake that I'm pulling out of my arm. I don't know that it's a snake, but I'm pulling this long tube, and when I pull it out, it lands on the ground, and it turns out it's a half of a snake. And I recall I had done this before, and it shows me how I allowed these people to infiltrate and to literally get inside my inner circle and to get inside of me by way of soul. Touching me in my emotions and afflicting me when I'm trying to help other people, and et cetera, et cetera. So I gained victory in that, had this amazing dream that God shows me to help comfort me and put me at ease, to let me know that I'm not getting ahead of Him, that I've not done something wrong. And then this morning, Persis and I were having a great conversation talking about how much we miss each other and love each other and can't wait to see each other and just really being blessed. And then I had some questions about her past, started talking about her ex, and wanted to know how she felt about some things. And so I brought her back to a few memories, and that went really well. And it seemed to for a while. And I finally got to a place where I started to feel a little bit uncomfortable, you know, tormenting, like a little bit looking in that room of her heart too long. And I explained I really wanted to get to know more of what's in her heart, but that, you know, I can only take so much of hearing about the ex before I kind of go, okay, I think I've probably heard enough of this, and I don't know that you ever get to a place, I don't know that I'll ever get to a place where I could just think about him, and it's just a piece of cake. But I have noticed that God has increasingly given me more grace to be able to recognize that as part of her past, not of her present. And so anyhow, we had this conversation, and then of course I told her I never wanted her to feel threatened or tormented by any thoughts, and I wanted her to share them with me so that I could put her at ease. And it, as it turns out, she was being tormented again about my children, and she said she can't stop the thoughts, and so she's been struggling with this idea that she's going to have to compete with my children, and she's going to be put underneath of them. So I spent about 20 minutes reassuring her, and by the time I was done reassuring her, it seemed to me that her condition was worse than before I even spoke the first word. And all of a sudden I realized, wow, how did this happen? How did it go from us being everything's fine, and we are hugging and on the phone basically, and telling each other how much we love each other and can't wait to see each other, and I'm taking this brave journey to go inside of her heart to hear about her ex, and everything's fine, and I should have been the one that was upset, and I wasn't. And I just politely said, you know, that's probably enough of that for today. And just started talking about how much I love her and desire her, and, you know, why I'm jealous for her in those ways and all of that. And the next thing I know, we're on the kid thing, and the whole thing just falls apart. And there was nothing even said about my children. It just came out of nowhere. I said something, I think, the day before or 2 days ago about one of the children's feet size, and she got very quiet. as soon as I bring up the children, she gets very quiet. And it's because of her culture. They subordinate the wives under the children. They put the children above, and the wives get lost in that culture because of children. So that's all she's ever known. So she said at some point, she's like, you know, I think I just need to take a break. And I said, okay, all right, well, I guess we'll, you know, talk a little bit later. And I said, I love you. Click. Before I could even get out the words, I love you, she was gone. She didn't tell me she loved me. And then, I don't know, I guess a few hours went by, and she texted me, you know, baby, are you there? What are you doing? And I said, I just hung up a phone call with Tyler to take your call. As it turns out, you know, and I kind of knew this was going to happen. It's a setup. I mean, these things are just, they're comical and they're absolutely frustrating. It's so bizarre that I knew before she called me that, as I'm on the phone with Tyler when he called me, and I haven't talked to him now in over a week or 2 weeks because he got the phone taken away again. So he calls me out of the blue today, and I'm so excited to hear from him, and everybody's gone, and you know, I knew, I was like, you know what, I bet you Persis is going to try to contact me while I'm on the phone with the kids. I haven't talked to him for weeks, and, you know, a handful of weeks in the last, you know, almost a year and a half. And I sure enough, today's going to be the day where the devil's just going to drive this nail even farther into her heart. And sure enough, and I said to her, she said, what are you doing? And when I saw her texting, I said, son, I have to speak to my wife. I had promised her I will never put the children ahead of her. And Tyler and I had already talked a good deal of time, and I knew Persis was probably going to be going to bed and that I would talk to Tyler again. And unfortunately, she said, it's okay, I'm going to go to bed. I just wanted to tell you good night. I love you. I think she said, I love you. I'm not even sure. And then that was it. And I said, actually, I don't think she did tell me she loved me. But maybe she did. I'd have to look and see. But she didn't say anything else. She dropped off, and I had sent her a text and said, well, I'm a little disappointed, but I love you and I trust God. So all of this happens, and this is clearly a spiritual attack. And all day long, I did great. Just relaxed into the Lord and had peace on my walk and trust Him. And of course, it's nighttime now, so it's always rough for me at nighttime. My thoughts are always more negative at night, and it's harder for me. But I'm still doing okay. And I waited and stayed up as long as I could to see if she would, you know, try to contact me back. And I've been kind of caught in this place all day where, how much do I try to help her and encourage her as the weaker vessel versus just allowing God to do His thing with her? And I remember today, I even said, Lord, it's okay, Father, if you test me in this. And boy, here it came. I knew it. It was going to be harder. For the first time ever, we went to bed without talking to each other. So I had to trust God. Okay, Lord, I'm going to trust that you're going to take care of her heart. And of course, now I'm getting ready to go to bed without hearing from her. And I sent her a 9-second message to let her know, I just want to let you know I'm going to bed. I love you. And I have my natural thoughts. And if I were not able to walk by the Spirit, we would be in trouble when something like this happens. Because in my natural thoughts, I want to say, you know, why are you punishing me when I didn't even do anything wrong? I mean, I am not able to talk with my wife right now, and I'm going to bed with not feeling so good in my stomach now and concerned and having to make this recording and all that. And I didn't do anything wrong. I spent 20 minutes declaring how much I love her and will put her first in all ways, but I didn't do anything wrong. This was just a thought that the devil put in her mind, and now I'm being punished and she withdraws from me. She denies me telling me that she loves me. She's denying me phone calls, contact. She was very short in her text. And so because she's hurting because of a lie and a fear that's totally not true, now I'm being punished. And in the natural, I watched our story today, and at about 10, 15 minutes, she says, you know, I had no idea what God had planned for me. I thought I would never have something like this happen, but God had a totally different plan. He was going to bless me with his very best and give me Michael. And I felt like sending her a recording and saying, you know, would you like to allow this recording to be remade where right after the words you say, but God had a better plan. He was going to give me his very best. Can you imagine if we were to take the devil's suggestion and insert right after you say those words something to the effect of, but God's plan was a flawed plan and it was a failed plan because Michael had 5 kids and you're going to have to compete with them and you're never going to feel loved and you're always going to be put in the back seat and they're going to take over your life and they're going to take over your husband. And we should put that in the story, the end, to help her see that she's believing a lie from the devil. And yet she has a video where she explains, you know, that she knows God had a plan and God blessed her. And of course, if I were to say something like this, it would backfire and it's not right. And so I went back and forth. I say, Lord, what shall I do? And I feel like what God is teaching me is learning to completely trust him for her in a deeper way than I've ever thought. God is definitely using this time of separation to teach me more and to train me how to let her go when she has to have an emotional downtime and processing her own negative thoughts and helping her to learn just like I've had to learn to deal with them. And that if it's a real problem, if it's something I'm doing, then she needs to talk to me about it. But like her, when I was concerned about, you know, people she might have been texting from old work and them not knowing she was married and so forth and so on, I was concerned about it and I needed to address that. But when I have feelings about her ex and stuff like that, that's not something I need to ask her for help for. I need to do that on my own with the Father. And so I feel like the Lord is helping me to rest and trust her. But in the evening time, it's become difficult. And then these flaming arrows come in. Thoughts of she's doubting. She is so afraid of this children thing that she's willing to divorce you. She's having second thoughts. She feels like she's made a mistake. She's thinking about all the pain of being separated from you. And the pain of being separated from you is probably less than her just being lonely and single for the rest of her life. Or, you know, finding somebody else. I mean, these thoughts. Maybe she's thinking about her ex. And well, maybe she made a mistake. And yeah, just horrible, horrible thoughts come into my mind. And I just have to keep saying, no, I'm not believing them. And it comes down to this. Am I going to believe what God has said? And I'm very blessed that the Father has given me a promise that says he's made an everlasting covenant with me. It's arranged and secured in every part. God has given me this promise. And he has said to me, which of you fathers of his son asked for a fish would give him a snake? And God has shown me that the blessing of the Lord brings wealth and he adds no trouble to it. This is a relational wealth. And all day long, I've just decided to rest and not to try to go back after her and try to save her. I've already spent 20 minutes encouraging her as the weaker vessel and helping her in her weakness. And then she made the decision to distance herself from me and go be quiet. And so I'm going to let her. I'm not going to chase after her. I'm going to let her do whatever she needs to do with God and trust the Father. This is something that's totally new. Whereas I think I used to would go, let me go fix this. With her, I'm not doing that. I'm saying, okay, Lord, I trust you to take care of her and help her in this. And I believe the Lord is using it to train me. And of course, I believe the Lord is teaching her many lessons he'll bring out of this. And then tonight, just as I was getting ready to go to bed, I was working on this video. I was led to work on this video about trying to find my love and acceptance in celebrities. And incredibly, as I'm putting up one of the images and I'm positioning the image inside the timeline, when I moved the image, I looked up at where it was positioned, and on the left, basically the position left and right, it was at 777. The position up and down, 666. And so I first saw the 777, and then I saw the 666, and then shortly after, I saw 1010. The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy. And I know that I can trust my Father. I know that the devil is shooting arrows into my wife's heart, and there is nothing I can do about it. I have already spoken to her. I cannot go give her a hug. I cannot look her in the eyes. I cannot change her heart. I cannot convince her that what she's believing is a lie and that how she's going to feel about the children is completely different than what she's thinking in her heart. I cannot convince her of these things, but God can. And God can use this to keep her humble and to... all kinds of good things will come out of this. And it's hard. I mean, fighting a spiritual battle is hard. This is one lesson that I want to definitely capture is... it is tormenting sometimes in your thoughts. And I have to just keep putting my eyes on the Lord. And I grab certain scriptures. And, you know, I keep putting my eyes on Him. And just putting my eyes on Him. You know, Psalm 25, 15. My eyes are ever on the Lord, for only He will release my feet from the snare. Surely God is my help. The Lord is the one who sustains me. Psalm 54, 4. Psalm 34, 4. I sought the Lord and He answered me, and He delivered me out of all my fears. Those who look to Him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. And I begin to speak those words, and my heart fills with faith, and I'm able to stay calm and not react like I would. In years past, something like this, I'd be in a tailspin. I'd be panicked. I mean, here I have a wife who's gentle and fragile and vulnerable. She's 8,712 miles away from me. I can't kiss her. I can't hug her. I can't hold her. I can't assure her. I can't look her in the eyes. I can't do anything for her. I have no choice. It's like Jehoshaphat says in 2 Chronicles 20:12, "Oh Lord, will you not judge them? We have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you." And so it is with every one of these situations that come up. The way I get through these very difficult moments, I've tried to explain to people, I am not without difficult moments. Persis and I have come under, I would say, an exceptional amount of spiritual attack since our marriage, even before our marriage began. And I believe it's because God has tremendous plans for our marriage. And I believe God has unbelievable glory that He wants to bring Himself in this relationship. And works that He wants to do to serve and help and encourage other people. And really to kick the devil in the teeth. And the only way we're going to get stronger is through warfare. The only way we're going to be able to handle more and more responsibility and more territory for the kingdom is to be trained in battle. To be stronger, as it says in 2 Thessalonians, I'm sorry, as it says, I think it's 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. And the war between the house of David and the house of Saul lasted a long time. And the house of David grew stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul grew weaker and weaker. And I see myself, each battle that we overcome, I see myself, we're getting stronger. We're getting stronger. And that is really amazing. But yet, it's hurtful. It's hurtful that I'm going to bed tonight not having any idea what's going on in my wife's mind. But I trust the Lord. I trust the Lord to help her and to strengthen her. I could be all kinds of afraid, like, oh man, she's going to back out. Oh man, she's going to do this. Oh man, she's going to... Nope. I am going to refuse to listen to the liar. I'm going to refuse to walk in fear. I'm going to keep my eyes on Him. I'm going to keep my eyes on my promises. And I'm just going to say, Lord Jesus, give me the grace to get through another day. Just like I've done every day for the rest of my life for the last 7 years of hell that I've walked through. With all that difficult stuff, God got me through every single one of them. And God will get me through this one. It is 8:43 in the morning on May 15th, 2016. This is a continuation of the journal entries in the struggle that Persis and I are having. And the situation has just gotten worse. I didn't hear from her at all last night. She never told me she loved me before she went to bed. And I woke up this morning and she had not replied to anything that I had shared.
overnight. The message that I sent her, she never replied. She knows I love for her to reply in the middle of the night. So there came another strike. She never texted me. Finally, around 6:30, I sent her a text and said, I love you. I'm confused. I don't know what to do to help you. I'll give you some distance until you have space. She never replied back to that. And then about, I don't know, maybe an hour later, she said, good morning, I love you. That was it. And then I sent her this message, and I started to feel like these arrows were coming into my heart. And that's what I want to capture, is the spiritual warfare. I mean, this is absolute an assault on my mind. Do you call that love? Where you say the words, I love you, but yet you're saying it as you're distancing yourself and withdrawing because you're of your own fears, and you're now basically with your actions punishing me for the pain that you're feeling? Is that love? And all these other arrows have come into my heart, these thoughts that have just come in, you know, that she's not as far along as I thought, that she is still such a victim of the culture. She doesn't have the freedom in this area. I have had thoughts that, wow, she's no better off than her sister. She's no better off spiritually than her sister, who's sitting there like a zombie receiving arrows all day long from the voices of the devil, unable to do virtually anything. And I say to myself, how is Persis any better off right now than her sister? She's receiving the lies of the devil, and it's killing her husband's heart. It's not killing it, but it's hurting her husband's heart, and it's putting distance in the relationship. And I have all these thoughts of, am I ever going to serve God alongside of a woman who could be so easily given to fear like this in this area? Like, is this a symptom of a greater cause below the surface? Like, where is the faith in this? The Bible says that you're daughters of Abraham, like Sarah, if you do not give in to fear. And I think she would feel better off being alone and being lonely than she would having to share me with my children, or having these thoughts about having to compete with my children. And thoughts that she's thinking to herself, I made a mistake. I would have probably been happier being with Santosh and living with an ungodly man, but at least I would have had him to myself than me. And just all this just assault, like, the marriage is going to be over. I've now made a fool of myself by putting it all up online, telling people how great God is. I see her sitting at the end of the video, and she says, you know, I could have never imagined something like this was going to happen to me. I thought all hope was gone. And then she says, but God had a plan. And I saw this thought of me re-editing in there. Yeah, but it was a false plan. It was a miserable plan. It was a broken plan. It was a worthless plan, because after all, God was going to give me a man with 5 children, and I'm not going to be able to feel confident in my relationship with my husband because of them. I'm going to feel threatened, and I'm going to have to always share time. So God's plan was terrible. He did a terrible plan. He messed up and he failed. He couldn't see that I was going to have these, you know, this problem with these children. And now I'm in a situation where I'm married to my wife, and I feel like she doesn't care about my children. And I realize that these are very selfish thoughts that she's having, and I'm having all these thoughts. Man, she wanted kids of her own. She was even willing to have a child with her ex and not be married to him, just so she could have a piece of him. But yet she doesn't want to have anything to do with mine. She was willing to adopt children just so she could have somebody to give love and affection to, but yet she doesn't want to have mine. She won't adopt my children. And of course it has to do with the fact that they were with my ex. Well, so were the kids that she would love. They came from different parents. And I'm having all these thoughts, very negative thoughts. I mean, and I felt myself this morning. I mean, I was doing so good yesterday and last night and this morning. It's been on me. It's like I've been bit by a snake. I felt my body shaking. I literally, while I was emptying the dishwasher, I felt my body starting to shake. Breathy, heavy breathing. I'm having stomach problems. I went to bed at 11:30. I woke up at 4:30. And, you know, I'm under attack. The devil hates us. He hates this relationship. He hates me. And he's attacking the weaker vessel. And there's nothing I can do to save her except for to pray. And I'm vulnerable. It's like I'm on again and off again. I don't know where I stand with her. One minute she's telling me she can't wait and she needs me and she wants to be with me. And the next minute she's saying, I don't think I can compete with your kids. And she completely withdraws. I went back and I found an email last night, January 12th. It says, I don't need to have children of my own. I will be a good mother to your children. I will obey you like Sarah obeyed Abraham, and I will be a good wife. The next day, as a result of everything she had said and all kinds of other things, I asked her to marry me. And now she keeps having every, you know, few weeks this spiritual meltdown in her heart over what's going on with my children. And I've had thoughts like, great, I might as well just quit now while I'm ahead. Might as well just tell her, if you want to end it, if you want to go ahead and eat the fruit, but I'm not eating it with you. If you want to eat the devil's lies, if you want to go watch the story video, and if you want to remember all the things God did and all the miracles he had to do and all the things that he told us in advance and all the times he opened the door and pushed us through, if you just want to say, oh, that's a lie, every time you looked at me and smiled, said you've never been so happy. If you just want to now believe that's all a lie because the devil offers you a piece of fruit and you just want to throw away every good thing God has done because you believe a lie, go ahead. I can't stop you from eating it, but I'm not eating it with you. And I've been frustrated at the devil. I've been frustrated at how I'm feeling. And finally, I came out here and I said, Lord, I'm sinking like Peter. But I said, Lord, I don't want to ask for your help. I said, Lord, I don't want you to say to me, oh, ye of little faith, why did you doubt? So I said, Lord, let me just cling to faith. And the Bible says, take up the shield of faith with which to extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. If anybody were to hear this message and judge me because of the thoughts I've had, thinking they're dramatic, they should be careful until they've walked in my shoes, until they've ministered and had the call of God on their life like I have. The devil hates my guts, and he hates Persis, and he hates our marriage. He hates it that I'm putting out all these YouTube videos telling people to trust God. And so in moments like this, I wanted to capture how real the battle is, how ugly, how painful, how sinister. And I have to decide, do I trust God or not? And I shrunk back a little bit this morning. I sent her an audio message and I just basically said, I'm so confused. I feel like you're changing your mind. I don't understand. I feel like I'm being punished. And what did I do wrong? Yesterday, everything was great. I listened for an hour for you to talk about your ex. And then all of a sudden, you turned it on one of my kids. And then didn't want to talk to me. And hung up without telling me you love me. She withdraws her love for fear. Fear is being her master. And I'm saying to myself, God, how can I, you know, this doesn't work. having somebody beside you that's given to fear. And yet I know God is using all of this to teach us both, to train us. It feels so scary. It feels like, you know, it could all end and you have doubts about yourself. And did I miss something? Did I mishear God? I mean, did I get ahead of him? I've had thoughts like, man, maybe I didn't wait long enough and see that this is a serious character flaw that she has. I mean, how do I know? How long is this going to last? Are we going to be doing this 20 years from now? All these thoughts. And finally I say, I'll have to take up the shield of faith. There may be a tiny bit of truth in some of the things I've said. The devil always laces the lie in a little bit of truth. But I have a responsibility to believe God. And I don't know what exactly to do in this situation except for just to pray and trust him. And I'm trying so hard to not manipulate the circumstances, to not try to withdraw from her. And it's so hard. I see the devil's tactic is he isolates one and gets them fear, and then that offends the other person, and the other person draws back, and before you know it, you have this separation. And it's my prayer that God is going to continue to teach me how to overcome. I mean, these things are difficult. These things are impossible to do without the Spirit of Christ in you. It's impossible for me to get on that phone with her right now and just pretend like everything's okay, or for me to not want to push in on her a little bit and let her know how hurtful this has been. You know, and how you can't please God ever if you live in fear like this. You have to decide, who are you going to believe, God or the devil? And as soon as I point the finger at her, I'm pointing it right back at me. I have to remember the same thing. And it's hard. I thank God for those scriptures that Paul says, I came to you in fear and with much trembling, or pressures outside and fears within. Another scripture he says, we had pressures outside and fears within. So even the apostle Paul had these fears and, you know, speaks of being in such despair that they despaired even of life beyond their ability to endure. And this happened. Praise God. I'm thank you for the scripture, Lord. This happened so that they might not depend upon men, but on themselves, but on God who raises the dead. And I knew yesterday, and it's funny how I know these things, but when they happen, it's not as easy to, when you're in the moment, especially for you know, greater levels, greater devils, new devil territory you've never been in before. I knew yesterday, all right, the circumstances are going to contradict. God is going to deliver, but things are going to get worse before they get better. They always do. And sure enough, they have gotten worse. And it's literally, it's like being bit by a snake. And I'm not 100% sure how the Father sees this situation right now. Like, is it okay that I feel like I've been bit by a snake? Meaning that my body is shaking and nervous and, you know, I'm not right this second, but earlier. And then, or is that just a complete lack of faith? And have I now become victim to fear? Which, that sounds like it's the case. So I'm having to shake it off. And the way I'm doing it is professing faith, taking up the shield of faith. I wanted to capture how I'm feeling, but I didn't start this recording until after I had already started feeling better. But those are the thoughts that have gone through my mind and through my heart. And I think to myself, how many Christians are under assault in their thoughts? And they hear these lies about all kinds of things and they act on them. That's how the devil wins. He gets us to act on the lie. You hear the lie, you're never going to be able to compete with Michael's kids. They're always going to have a place in his heart above you. You're always going to be trying to find his attention. You're always going to be second place. And then you act on it by withdrawing your love. And there it is. And then Michael starts going, wait a second, what happened here? I mean, I didn't do anything. And yesterday everything was great. And now, what? I mean, what happened? All because you believe the lie of the devil. And then you take action on it. And now Michael's in trouble. Now Michael's hearing lies. Now Michael's isolated from his wife. And now Michael's hearing the lies.
She's not where you thought she was. She's going to pull back on you. She's not as happy. Her love is conditional. She doesn't love your kids. She's never going to. She would have been happier off just being without you. This was all a mistake. You got ahead. Blah, 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 blah. And then what do I do? I want to back up and say, okay, great. I'm not going to talk to her for a while. I'll just let her figure this out. Or back, I'll send an email and tell her, you know, are you going to believe the devil? Are you going to do this or da-da-da-da-da to try to get things back comfortable for me? I'm trying to find the balance in this. You know, helping myself and helping her, I've already told her everything in 20 minutes that I could think to say to encourage her and reassure her and to try to put her heart at ease, and it didn't work. So what I did didn't work. And I think that the Father is teaching me in my relationship, and I think also this is helping me loosen it a little bit in my heart, again, more for Him, to realize that I have to trust Him at all times and always for everything. And I cannot fix this marriage. I didn't put this marriage together. I can't keep it together without His help. I can't do anything. I have to totally trust Him. And I have to be willing to trust Him with my wife's heart. I find this new lesson, and it takes time to learn these lessons, that it's easy for me to trust me or trust God with me because I have a track record. It's harder for me to now trust God for her. I haven't seen that long track record. I've had a few times, and I know that I know how to respond to God. I don't fully know that she's doing this all the time, and so there's that angst, and I'm trying to find, that's the main point I'm trying to make in this message, is I'm trying to find what is the Father's will for how I am to respond to this situation. And I want to respond by the Spirit of Christ. And that doesn't always mean that it's always going to be just lovey-dovey, you know, tolerance, kind, peacekeeping. It may mean that I need to gently rebuke her for her unbelief and tell her she needs to repent of this unbelief. And she needs to decide, who are you going to obey? Who are you going to serve? Who are you going to believe? After all that you've seen, who are you going to believe? Are you going to allow the devil to come paint one picture and say, hey, this is the real thing? When God has already painted this masterpiece and you know it's the real, but He brings a counterfeit by and you say, oh, well, look at this. So now I'm going to shut this off and I'm just going to continue to pray, and I'm trying to capture everything that's happening. I know that God is going to come through for us. There is nothing too difficult for God. I believe that God is showing me more things in my heart. I believe God is using this to train me, to teach me, to bring me to another level of selfless love. I believe this is an answer to prayer for both Persis and I both, that God will show her vulnerability. He'll humble her in this area. And perhaps it's a thorn in the flesh for her to keep her humble for a time. I don't know. But I just really believe God will work it all together if I give Him the faith, and I already love Him and I'm going to obey Him. So now I'm going to just repent from my unbelief for a few moments today. And I certainly can't say I'm any better than Peter. And I'm going to just trust the Father to help me. It's just a few minutes later. It's 9:12 in the morning now on that same May 15th. And this is just a quick update and a praise of real time how God brings grace. And I stopped the recording and I just began to thank God. The Bible says, be joyful always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So I literally began thanking God. I just began thanking Him. Lord, I thank You for these adversities. I thank You for the devil that attacks us. I thank You for training us and teaching us. I thank You for the weakness that causes me to come and pray. And I thank You for revealing to Persis her weaknesses. And I thank You for strengthening us so we can be strong for others. And I thank You that, and I just began to thank Him and thank Him and thank Him. And then I read Ephesians chapter 6. 11 through, you know, like 19, the Ephesians 6 spiritual warfare, putting on the full armor of God. And as I was just reading it, faith and peace just began to settle in my heart along out of that thanksgiving that I gave to God. And it's like just in a moment, I mean, literally out of giving thanksgiving to God, such something that's so hard to do sometimes when you're terrified and things look dismal and the skies are all black, but in faith, not by feeling. And I with God's help, I've been able to do this hundreds of times in the last 7 years. And I just began to do it. And I see how quickly, again, God can change the light in your heart. He can change the strength of your heart. Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty strength. And this peace just settled into my heart. And all of a sudden, my stomach settled down. I mean, it's just incredible how this happens. Where I apologized to the Father and I said, Lord, I confess, O me of little faith, Lord, I took my eyes off of you. And I started to sink. I started to look at. It's hard not to when the arrows are coming in. And I said, Lord, I needed to get out here sooner. And it's amazing what the devil will try to do. I thought, well, maybe I'll just stay and work on a video, or maybe I'll do this. No, I needed to go pray. That's been the secret to my overcoming spiritual battles, is to go and get with the Father, just like Jesus did when he was tired or weary or needed something. He would go get alone with the Father, and I did, and this peace just settled from heaven into my heart. And I am so thankful, because now with God's help and by His grace, I am able to, I'm going to go back home, and I'm going to pick up the phone, and I'm going to call Persis, and I'm going to be able to lovingly support her and try to lift her up, rather than pushing her down further and telling her how she failed in her faith, and how she's, you know, displeasing to God because she's not trusting, you know, Him. I will share those things, but in a loving way as a principal, after I've helped lift her back up. See, I couldn't do this in my own strength. I didn't have the ability. It was like in my flesh, it cannot do it. But He gives more grace, which is why the scriptures say God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. And here it is, that enabling power of Christ has just settled into my heart. He knows the devil is hot and heavy on us. He allows it to keep us humble, to keep us low, to keep us dependent, to keep us hungry, to keep us focused, to keep us from being distracted, to keep us from being worldly, to keep us from being prideful. I just began to thank God. Even now as I speak these words, the gratitude flows into my heart. This is incredible. I mean, this is a real-time example of what it looks like to fight a terrible spiritual battle, and how you can come out, as the Bible says, after you've done everything to stand, stand firm then. And have that breastplate of righteousness on. I think to myself, now supposing I were harboring a little unforgiveness against somebody. Supposing I was being unmerciful. Supposing I've got an issue with lusting at women or looking at pornography. Or suppose I got a little bit of love of money. Or suppose I got a little bit of this or that. I've removed the breastplate of righteousness. And these arrows that come in, they're going to sink deep. They're going to be long, hard, fast, and last. And I'm going to be down. And I won't come out of it. But here, in just less than maybe 45 minutes, I've been able to come out, visit with the Lord, get strength in the Lord, and go back into the battle. And with God's help, be more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Praise be to God. It is now 6 o'clock p.m. on May 15th, 2016. And this is probably the final journal recording I'll make about this subject, where Persis and I have had this struggle about my children. And the moral of the story is that this is all about fear, and it's all about the devil. And he is the real enemy. And he has been able to leverage Persis's culture and her childhood, her upbringing, the fears of being with her ex. God was pleased to allow the devil to attack her in all these ways, and it just got into a big mess. We spent actually several hours trying to talk about it. I ended up falling off the deep end at least for 10 or 15 minutes. I had told the Father this morning, Lord, don't send help. Meaning, I don't want to cry out, Lord, save me, like Peter, I'm drowning. And I told him, I said, Lord, I want to learn how to stand, you know, and walk in faith. And I think about 20 yards after I said that, I kind of recanted and said, Lord, I really need your help. Well, I ended up being filled with peace. But then when I spoke to Persis, she was so disconnected sounding, and she basically made it sound like I needed to get my children out of my life, that she could never feel like I was going to love her enough with the children in my life, that how could, and then all these just thoughts came into her mind. A message that I had sent her, she made it, it sounded to her like I was saying I married her to be a mother to my children. And literally, no matter what happened, the devil was twisting it all through the filter of fear. And she stayed calm throughout the whole thing and a good listener. And I got stern and I got loud. And I even, you know, lost my cool a couple of times, and I was not proud about it. I was so frustrated to see her allowing the devil to lie to her like this. And I was so hurt. And then I became afraid, thinking to myself, my goodness, is she thinking that, like, she's going to divorce me if I don't, you know, figure out some way to get, you know, the children to where she's comfortable with them. I mean, I just couldn't understand it all. And it was coming out of this really difficult place, very frustrating. And we talked again, like I say, for several hours. And I basically just kept trying to get her. I narrowed her down. I kept asking her, okay, and here's what you feel, but what's the evidence? And I just kept trying to say, now tell me the evidence that you have. And she would get to the point where she would get frustrated. She couldn't find something. And I would say, okay, do you see what's going on here? You're not believing anything based upon a fact. You're believing stuff based upon a lie. And you've allowed the lie to become your reality. So it was a huge attack from the devil. Last night I'm working on the video and I see the 777-666 combo within 1 inch of each other as I push and position an image on the timeline in the video, and the positions out of thousands of numbers come out to 777 followed by 666. And so I knew this was going to be a heavy one. Now the thing that I'm feeling the most right now, and I'm weary from the battle, is God was pleased to allow this. First of all, as Charles Stanley said in his message about freedom, God will do whatever it takes to get to the bottom of what it is that's causing you. Even if he has to go back into your childhood to get rid of whatever stands in his way from him using you, he has a plan for your life. And as long as you're held captive to anything, sin, beliefs, fear, false teaching, insecurity, legalism, whatever you're attached to, God will work to work that out. And that's what God was doing, is God has allowed the devil to attack us mercilessly today to help bring to surface this huge lie that my wife is believing, and also for an additional humility for me, because I finally started to sink. All day long, all night, last night, I kept professing the faith, keeping my eyes on God, trusting Him. And then today, I mean, as the assault, it just got worse and worse, I started to sink. And in a moment of, like, panic, I started to just cry, and I hung up the phone on purpose so that I could just burst out. And I didn't lose it for long, just a minute or two, but I started to feel like, oh my gosh, is she getting ready to just divorce me? Did I just do all of this for nothing? How could this possibly happen? I mean, everything, the story that we've told, I mean, the pictures I've hung up on the wall, the plans I've changed and made, the thousands of dollars that's been spent, the months of the life, all this fighting that I've had to do to get into this promised land, this is all now, she's just going to throw it away because she thinks that I can't love her and my children? And I think that Persis, with me having five kids, the thing that she kept seeing is that the kids represented my ex-wife. And I'd keep nailing her down on, okay, so what you're saying is the problem is not my children, it's my ex-wife. So then I would show her that there's not a single cell in my body that has any desire in any way to even see my ex-wife ever again, except for in a compassionate Christian way to pray for her. But that there's nothing. She was the most evil person I've ever seen in my entire life. The way she treated me, there's nothing. It's like being married to a spiritual axe murderer. No, I have no desire for her whatsoever. But then it came back to her still being jealous about the kids. And I was having a hard time because I know how I feel about my children. And I know how I feel about Persis. And it's completely different. And because Persis doesn't have children, she's stuck in that place where I was at when I was young. And I told my parents, you already have a kid. You don't need to have another one. Because I wanted to be the only one. I didn't see how they could love another kid. You know, it's the same thing with having five children. You know, you have one and you go, how could you ever love another one? And then you just do. It's so easy. God multiplies. So I ended up failing. I stepped out of faith and I stepped into her fear because she took me right up to the edge. And what I was hearing from her was this finality of, I can't do this, feeling the way I'm feeling with the children. And I thought, oh my goodness, what in the world have we gotten ourselves into? How did this happen? And I believe the Lord will teach me many things from this. I woke up at 4:33 this morning. After the fight, it's not a fight, but after our battle, I took a nap, woke up at 4:33. That's Isaiah 43:3. Speaks of, because I am precious and honored in sight, he will give men in exchange for my life. Do not be afraid. Then I felt prompted to watch a sermon by Zach Poonen on being set free. And you shall be free. And the message was about fear, freedom from fear. And it was really incredible. I was very, very encouraged by the message. And it was just a great message. And I wanted to send it to Persis to encourage her as well. So basically, now I just feel very bruised. I'm thankful that it's over. I feel very bruised in my heart, and I'm going to allow myself to feel uncomfortable for a while and just trust now for God to repair our hearts and to re-strengthen us and to help us wake up. Perhaps she'll feel refreshed. I've had some fears that I've explained to her that I felt like she didn't fight for my relationship as much as she fought for Santosh's, and she's wanting to just quit on me already, and I felt like, you know, she loved him more than she loved me. And I'm not entirely certain still that that's not the case. That because he was her first love and because she's put so much time and energy into it, I almost feel possible. It's like possible like she still loved him more than she loved me, and that hurts. But maybe, you know, as time goes on, she'll get more over him and have more love, you know, for me. But I also understand how she feels battle weary. Like, you know, both of us, we fought so hard in our first relationships. And, you know, you get tired of battling, and then it makes you just want to quit. It makes it almost easier to quit. You know, just like, wow, if this is how it's going to be, you just were like, really? You know, you don't want to go through that battle, because that battle is so hard. And yet, I said to her, that guy wasn't worth one day of your life fighting for. He threw mud in your face and you still fought for him. And how much more should you fight for me? That's what I felt. Like, I feel like, how much more should I fight for her than I did for my ex? And yet, because you're battle weary, you almost are like reluctant to battle. And that's what she was saying. She's like, I don't want to battle anymore. I don't want to have to and do this. So that fear was able to be like a deterrent for her to almost prevent her from even wanting to battle. The fear was so strong and so prevalent. So that happened, and And I was left feeling a little bit, I guess maybe insecure in some ways, because she doesn't offer a lot of that reassuring feedback like I do. She's much more quiet, uses much less words, takes much longer to process her thoughts. And I don't get that kind of feedback from her and that reassurance from her a lot. So I'm going to have to trust the Lord. And she does give me good reassurance when she's feeling okay. So I'll probably just have to wait until she's feeling better. And but if I were to keep thinking about my own fears, I mean, I'm going to sink. So God is using this to train me in this different way. There's so many things I'm not afraid of. I'm afraid of failure in my marriage again, for sure. And I'm afraid of losing her. I'm afraid of that. There's no doubt that it terrifies me to think that, you know, I would have to tear everything down that we just built up. But I could do it. And I could sit down in front of the camera and say, guys, I failed. I messed up. I made a huge mistake. I don't know how I made it. I'm sure for years I'll learn from this, but wow. And I would continue to trust God and move on with my life. And I would miss her terribly. I mean, just terribly. But I just trust God so much that I'm willing to lose anything for God. And I don't want to, but I'm clearly willing. And so anyhow, I am just going to continue to trust the Lord and be okay with not being okay for a few days until He restores my heart and her heart. Today is the 17th of May, 2016. It's 5:25 p.m. I just wanted to add, this is a final recording onto the big battle that Persis and I have just gone through. God is always to be praised. God is always faithful. Once again, the Father has helped us to overcome. I am able to see clearly how I made a mistake telling the Lord not to help me, because I felt like He would be looking at me as Peter, telling me, you should have believed, and oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And so I specifically told the Lord, Father, I'm going to remember the promises that you've told me about, told Him not to help me, and I fell flat on my face. Within seconds of the first words of Persis's mouth being opened, she said something that struck me wrong, scared the heck out of me. I immediately lost faith, went into a panic, began to sink. I spent probably an hour on my phone with her. My voice was raised. I was very passionately, you know, crying out in indignation and, you know, being too stern. And she stayed calm the whole time. And with God's help, we got through it. That day, God blessed us with grace. We were exhausted from the day's battle. Me having not slept well the night before, I went to bed and said, let's just go get a good night's sleep. I love you. Let's get a good night's sleep. The next morning, I woke up feeling so refreshed. It was like overnight. And during the day, God blessed Persis and I so much. We were able to reconcile and be stronger than we've ever been. We both recognized the need to repent for unbelief. She repented for believing the lies of the devil. She just couldn't get him off her back. I repented for my unbelief. And God showed me how there's a big difference between being called out of the boat for anything. To quit your job. Cancel a friendship. Start a relationship. End a relationship. Give money. Make a sacrifice. There's a huge difference in practicing faith like that than there is in the faith that's required to fight a spiritual battle. Big difference. God showed me that. That in spiritual battle, you always submit to the Lord, then resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You have to take up the shield of faith, but you have to cry out as Paul does, the Lord will strengthen me from every evil attack, and believe that God will deliver. And I learned a valuable lesson. And then I also was able to put myself a little bit more in Persis's shoes and see how important it is that she be number one in my heart, that she knows she's number one in my heart. And just everything came together. We were so blessed, so strengthened in our faith, so thankful for the misunderstanding to be gone, the fears to be extinguished, the lessons learned. And then that next morning, I can't remember if it was the next morning or that day. I think it was that the next morning, maybe after this, yeah, where I had thought to tell Persis, well, we should see something good happen because the devil's just attacked us like this. Amazingly, we had been waiting for our marriage registration, a second copy. She was going to go on Monday. Saturday, it was a holiday. Then she was going to go on Monday. She called the guy. He didn't answer, so she didn't want to go. He calls her back, and incredibly, he tells her, I'll be on the office tomorrow, and you can come get it. It's already finished. We were like, what? After all we went through to get the first copy of this, they just went ahead and gave it in advance and prepared it. This is unheard of. This is like a miracle in India. So we were just so excited. Now it's 2 days later, and we're just praising God for the extra strength. And we see how God is occasionally, at His will, putting us into the fire and into the water. He's forging us, strengthening our relationship, proving it true, and increasing its strength. So we are so blessed, so excited, so relieved. And once again, we've come through the storm, and we're now stronger in faith, stronger in love, stronger in everything. God is to be praised. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable how He works, faithful in all His ways.